Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to all of our members here at the premium section of the Tenpenny Files. You can find a direct link to our other content by going to drtenpenny.com and navigating across the bar at the top of the page. During our deep dives, we want to have an extended conversation with our guests, find out about what inspires them, and find out about more about who they really are and what speaks to their heart. So let me introduce to you my friend, Celeste Solem. Celeste Solem is an investigator, researcher, author, and broadcaster. Her background includes photojournalism, environmental medicine, government, military, and organic farming. Cycles are converging, all pointing to a cataclysmic period between 2020 and 2050. And we both believe that that timeline has accelerated. And many of us believe that this could be the extinction level event. Emerging technologies are being scaled to harness, control, and even destroy all of life. Celeste was born for a time such as this. God strategically and gently placed her in careers, events, and situations that are now converging during these end times. Celeste maintains her strong faith by continually studying the primary languages and concepts of the Bible. She actively explores the depths of faith, is an active prayer warrior skilled in spiritual warfare. Celeste, welcome to the deep dive. And that is just a great introduction for what we were talking about right before we started here, which I'll reiterate that question because I struggle at times with the spiritual walk that we're on right now because it is difficult. And I know that I've always believed that through the narrow gate and the wide gate. And the narrow gate is this long path that in my mind, I always visualed it as kind of like being a one lane road through the forest. But now I see that one lane road being more like a cow path on the edge of the mountain, and that we have to like lean into God even more because there's 1,000 foot of cliff off of our right side as we lean in onto God on the other side. But I struggle with things such as, if this really is the end times, and is this really God's wrath, and our government, our world so deserves God's wrath? And what does that mean if we're trying to set up things to like, to get our country get back, to get our constitutional republic back, to set up clinics and things around the country and around the world to sort of save maybe the remnant? Or is the remnant even going to be here? Are we going to be raptured off somewhere and let the world just destroy? And I'm not sure that there's any real obvious absolutist answers to any of those things, but I'd really like to have your take as a spiritual warrior, prayer child of God, of where you've, because I'm sure you've struggled with some of these things too. So what is your perspective that you want to share with me and with everyone who's listening here?
So it's a big topic, and yes, I struggle with it too. You know, I was in doing this battle. So they introduced the precursor of the mark on Halloween 2005. And then I really was active against fighting it. Thousands and thousands of people. My inbox was just crazy. It was the precursor to viral. I don't know that the term viral was around back then. And people swore, I mean, they actually like took an oath that they would fight this tooth and nail. At the time, it was called the National Animal Identification System. It had three pillars. One is that the government owns all property and would be issued a alphanumeric identification number with a country code. The second pillar is electronic identification of all life on that property, which would also be each unique life form would be issued a alphanumeric number with a country code, and 24/7 surveillance. And the implications were, and we had attorneys working with us, is that as far as property goes, and this does apply to everyone, not just farmers, if you had potential to earn $1,000, and everybody has potential to earn $1,000, you were required to get this premises ID is what it was called. And then the second was, you know, everybody at the time, it was RFID, the grain, the size of the grain of rice. People were opposing it. They did it at the state level. They did it at the federal level. Unfortunately, we were unsuccessful. And the program became mandatory. It is a United Nations program, and it is called traceability. Of the people, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I interacted with, all the states were defeated, the state legislations, the federal was also. I only know two people, and we are not really in communication at this time, but only two other women, all of us are Christians, would not participate in the program, no matter what. It puts the government in the first position on your property. You're the second position. And that has vast implications. If the country should default, then you are basically reduced. It's serfdom. You know, you're just the caretaker for the government because the government really owns it in a default situation. And the same with the life forms. So, and the electronic identification and 24/7 surveillance is what we're seeing now. These platforms that are put in this technology, have 24/7 surveillance, and it's increasing. And so I say all that because, you know, we have the best intentions to fight the system. But I do believe, you know, people ask me, you know, is there hope, whatever. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is going to be a remnant. God's word says it. We can stand on it. But he also says, talks about all the different prophecies of a rebellious people who purge God from their culture and their land and everything. You know, even purging it from our bodies, it's very sad. And that's where we find ourselves. We were, as Christians, we're not destined unto wrath. So I just believe that we're like in the end times, the birth pains that Jesus talks about, but not necessarily the wrath. I think at the wrath part, I'm sort of a mid-trib person, and this is the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week. And if you do studies on the book of Daniel, we can clearly see that we're in this time spoken of by the prophets and also Revelation. So there is a hope, but can we stop it through secular means? I believe that our country has gone secular, and we, you know, remember a couple years ago, they brought that Arch of Baal and they paraded it around, and you wondered what that was about. Well, it was opening the portal for all sorts of demonic activity and what they're doing now. It was a lot like that. Did you see that dance at CERN at the inauguration or whatever that was? I mean, it was like 2 hours long, but it's so disgusting. Another thing that people can look at that's very cryptic, it's a lot like the Economist cover, is IPECGOAT. If you've never seen IPECGOAT, it will give you a really interesting, it's kind of the floating of the elite of what's going to be happening. And the last IPECGOAT 2, they showed Jesus in there. And so it's a lot, it's along the lines, it's animated like the murals underneath the Denver airport and also the Bank of America building. But you can find out some very interesting things of where they intend to go, but they're really not in the driver's seat. It's really God Almighty who's is driving this. So I think our job, I know I can only speak for myself, but part of my job is to equip people whether you are going to be part of that remnant or whether you're going to go home, you do have to get your house in order. And we need to just hold on to our humanity. I say this almost at the closing point of every one of my interviews, that we need to preserve humanity, because so many people are giving it up for a pottage of lies, just like Jacob and Esau, Esau sold his birthright. And I see humanity selling their birthright for this, something that promises nothing except lies.
I think that I can't agree with you more, Celeste. I totally 100% support that. It's challenging to stay in that space. Like I said, you know, that narrow path has now gotten really narrow, and that our faith is going to be challenged to our center core. You know, the Bible said that you will be persecuted for your faith. And the persecution, I believe, can be physical, but it can also just be mental. I mean, the mental struggle of hanging on to that faith, no matter what, is challenging. It really is not impossible, but challenging, because sometimes you just feel like, what's the use? Why do that? But this holding on to your humanity, because people are rolling over and getting these shots for whatever excuse they want to come up with. And I'm finding that I'm running out of tolerance for that. I mean, I saw this phrase posted in one of the Telegram posts the other day. They called it empathy fatigue. I've done, as you have, I mean, you've spent years and so have I, and I've done more than 450 of these interviews in the last 15 months. And I usually do about 30 a year, and I've done 450. And then the 5D doctors, Larry Pilevsky, Carrie Made, Lee Merritt, me, and Christian Northrup, and Judy Mikovits, and Rashid Buttar, and Bobby Kennedy, and Del Bigtree, and you, and Scott Kesterson. I mean, all of us have been sounding the horn as loud as we can for as many as we can. And then when people, post these little things on Telegram or on their Facebook page, that so-and-so got the shot and they died, and all this great outpouring of empathy. And then somebody underneath there wrote, "I have empathy fatigue." We have warned these people, and they did it anyways. And they did it for stupid reasons. They didn't do it because first of all, fear is a stupid reason, right? Fear of a virus that has a less than 1% death rate. Fear of not turning that over to God in your spiritual life, walking with fear. But because I have to get on an airplane, or I wanted to go on a cruise, or I wanted to make sure that I could go to, I'm a big football fan. I wanted to be able to go to the football games this fall, or I wanted to go into a restaurant, not wear a mask. I mean, every excuse, and there are hundreds of them, that they have sacrificed their humanity. And I'm finding myself to be in a place of empathy fatigue about that. Are you experiencing that same thing, or not so much?
So I do. And then what I always come back to is that I want to emulate Jesus in every way. I mean, that is part of my life, to embrace him to the fullest and the depths. And so I can't imagine Jesus ever saying, "I have empathy fatigue," because I've screwed up so many times in my life. I'm so thankful that Jesus never gives up on me. He never does. I can screw up constantly, and he's always there. And really, if we're true Christians, when we walk with him, he gives us the strength. And yes, we're going to have those days where we're flat and we just go, "I can't take it." And that's when I just put my computer top down and I say, "I'll do this another day." But I keep these people in prayer, and I just try to have that compassion and empathy that Jesus had for the sinners and for the lost, because really that's who we're trying to minister. And many people, because of this situation, that wouldn't typically be, they were either fence sitters or were in a different religion or whatever, have seen that this is such a big thing that there is no other way than Jesus. And so that at the end of the day, between Jesus's continual long suffering with me and seeing this openness of new people. I've led several people to the Lord in the last year that would never have accepted Jesus before. And that's exciting. That lights my fire to go on another day.
Well, I agree with you. Jesus would never have empathy fatigue. We're like these fallible human beings down here, you know? And I mean, it's hard for me. I mean, it's been hard. I mean, I've been doing this vaccine education stuff for 21 years. And it's always been hard for me that when you present the information and then parents take their kids to be vaccinated and then they break them. It's like taking your most precious heirloom vase that has been handed down through multiple generations and you walk in the kitchen and you just drop it on the floor. And then you're remorseful and you regret. And then they come back to you and say, can you fix it?
Yeah.
No. You know, I mean, and maybe that's a repentance thing I have to go through to get over for doing that. I don't know. And so I'm just being really transparent here in this conversation that we're having, because it's difficult to present all of this information and work thousands and thousands of hours, just like what you have. And then people go break their heirloom vase and then come back and go, oh, how do I get this stuff out of my body? You told me not to do it. I did it. And now I've got hydrogel that's growing and magnifying in us. And that now I've got magnetic stuff that's in me. How do I get it out of our body? Which is one of the things I really wanted to talk to you about in this part of our interview, was this magnetic stuff. And once we have hydrogel and we have this magnetic, you know, magnetite and these things in us, what have you been researching about this magnetism in the hydrogel that's and the cold temperatures and all of these different things? What can you share with us about that?
So I'll just give you a teaser, because I'm going to be doing a webinar too on stuff that, you know, I go to places that angels fear to tread. And what I discovered is that there is a reason for these cold temperatures. They are trying. So I got this 232-page military document in December, which I did my Dark Winter webinar on. And it talked about a digital twin. And that's where there's God's world and there's this whole virtual realm. And they were trying to usher us into this virtual world willingly or unwillingly. So I went and I was looking up in preparation for this webinar. Okay, so what is the bottom line? And it looks like what they're doing with the geoengineering, and we allowed it to happen. You know, it continued. There wasn't a public outcry demanding that it cease. Now they're terraforming our body, and they are going to push us into at the quantum level and rewire our bodies into this virtual realm. And that's what they're in the process of doing. We're kind of midway right now. And to do that at the quantum level requires these really cold temperatures, because, you know, we looked at those vaccines and we go, what, you know, there's one thing being in a refrigerator. It's another thing that, you know, these super cold temperatures. But I guess to get us into this quantum level where they can quantumly control us, it's also a strange world. It's a science fiction world of holography. And it's going to become real. Like we'll be, you know, right now you have to put those virtual glasses on that make you look like, I don't know what you look like somebody that just had the atropine eye drops at the eye doctor, you know, and they're wearing those big things. Now they're not going to, with the magnetism and the hydrogel and quantum dot, you're not going to have that. They can just tweak photonically or magnetically and make us do all sorts of things. Like on the cellular level, it would not even be a conscious thing. We are actually like, they're the marionettes and we're the puppets This is the road that they're going down with the magnetism. It's terrifying. It is very terrifying. I want to read some of the things. This is from a research on magnetism and healing in both hard and soft tissues. And when magnetism is dosed into your body at the nanoscale, which is, of course, what we're talking about with the hydrogel and the terraform. So this is from 1995. And so that was a long time ago. They've come a long way. So it's enhancement. We have to remember these words that come from the transhumanism. There's augmenting and there's enhancing. Augmenting is like, so you have to have a hip replacement or something. So it's natural, you know, we have deterioration. I've broken both my wrists 3 times each. And, you know, I've got more bionic, you know, plates than this and that in there. So that's augmentation. Enhancement is better than God does. Superpowers, if you will. So what they're experimenting with, and this is in the journals now, I mean, I see it every day, making a new capillary and vascular terraforming inside our bodies. So they are actually have the ability to make a new synthetic or hybrid capillary and vascular system. And I think this is just a stepping stone for the synths, which is a synthetic human. And they're practicing on getting a vascular system, getting a brain, getting the different organs. You know, we see it every day in the news and we're kind of saying, okay, what's the end story? And I believe that that's what it is that they're going to be making a totally synthetic human with synthetic blood, synthetic organs, synthetic brain, synthetic eyes, that whole thing. Necrosis, dead tissue, swelling, the edema, pain, loss of function, muscle loss, nerve damage. And what I was, I just watched this, it's up on, I think I put it up on Shopify yesterday. So my former business partner, she's with the Lord right now. And I went to a 4-H thing it was a leadership meeting back in 2006. And they were talking about this new coming technology to make marbled meat. And so I found this scientific woman that was talking about the cell technology and making at the cellular level synthetic meats. It's very technical. It's very good. I think every person I put must watch. You have to see this because this is a part of what they're doing to us. At that time, it was just, they were preparing for this impossible burger and all that, even back in 2006, but they're actually doing it in people. Another thing is entrainment. And so all of the rhythms taking place in our, you know, they're impacted both on the earth magnetism, but also the celestial scale, our organs, tissues, cells, and molecules. So there is a study called SYNC, how order emerges from chaos in the universe, nature, and daily life. And the author was McCready, and it was in 2004. So basically, they are interrupting our molecular rhythms, and they are returning us to chaos. And you go, what is this all about? So I maintain this for a long time. So I go into the primary languages. And in the first sentence in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God, and there's a word that's never, ever translated into English, and Jesus created the heavens and the earth. And so that is the original creation. So what we are seeing right now is a satanic attempt to break everything down to the molecular building blocks and re-engineer life in the image of Satan, What's really taking place is the battle for the throne of Abba, Father, and Jesus Christ. So all of creation has been weaponized, both on God's part and on the satanic part. And we're actually in this good and evil war right now. And it's for the throne of God and Jesus Christ, who is salvation, and who gets to be the creator. So Satan is trying to be the creator by what he's doing right now. He's just merely the engineer, but he wants to be the creator. Thoughts?
So, yeah, I mean, it's Ephesians 6, right? We're fighting powers and principalities of this present darkness. And I've said in all of my broadcasts from the beginning, if we don't put God back in the middle of it and put God in the playing field, we might just as well, roll over. And because there's no stopping this. And when this first started back in March of 2020, one of the very first things that I said, Celeste, was I just sort of sat back in my chair and looked around. I said, well, this is Satan's last hurrah. He's going to do full court press. If we're trying to get as many people into our ark and get saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get them to know the narrow path and to get to heaven through Christ Jesus and God, he's got one last shot at this. And he's also trying, Satan is trying to pull as many into his lair as he possibly can also. And it's happening. I mean, it's happening. I mean, many are called, few are chosen, and narrow is the way. And there is only one way. There is only one way. There just is. And, the new agey people who are listening, who are in contact with your angels and all of those things, that's not to say you don't have experiences, but that's not your path to God. And, it just isn't. That's my position. I know, Celeste, that's your position. I know that's Scott's position. I mean, those of us that are speaking out loudly for God at this point in time, there is one way, and that's it. And I always use this example, Celeste, when people want to argue with me about it, I go, okay, so let's put it like this. What if I'm wrong? What if it's not about Jesus and it's not about God? What if I'm wrong? Well, we don't have anything to lose, right? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We were just like, blah, 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 blah. And it didn't really mean anything. But what if we're right? And there is only one way. And this is the way. And this is the way to God. Then where does that leave you? And usually when I use that argument or discussion and I say it as gently as I can, people go, I haven't really thought about it that way, So let's talk a little bit more about what this magnetism is going to mean to our bodies. I mean, I blew it up when I did that testimony at the health committee at the Ohio legislature a couple of weeks ago, and the mainstream media just had a heyday. I mean, it's interesting, Celeste. I mean, normally, I don't know what they were expecting me to do, roll over and shut up. I don't know. But the fact that, it's not really the most pleasant experience. And I got a lot of hate mail. Oh, my goodness, that people actually spent the time to write out letters and put a stamp on and mail to me really hateful things, So, but the ratio was about 3 to 20. Three of those really ugly hate mails to 20 other people, 17 other people going, thank you so much for speaking out and speaking up, So, and it wasn't the first time. I mean, it's happened to me before. And so I just really didn't care. It's like, flick it off like a flea. But we're really going to be experiencing something worse. And I feel like, there's 160 COVID vaccines in the developmental pipeline. I think there's 93 really ready to go. And it's been my opinion that watching this, that it's going to have a layered effect. Moderna went from 2 patents to 7. As we bring these other shots on board that we won't have any idea what's in them, what the ingredients are, we just don't know because they don't announce it. But it will be more and more of a layered effect. Is that sort of your take too? Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm seeing is that I just did a webinar last week and introduced people to 20 new platforms that they're putting in. I mean, and there's so many more platforms and scaffolding that they're using. And this is, you can think of it as scaffolding, like think of the window washers in New York City, and they've got the scaffold. And so some are simple platforms like that. And then some are like beehives where, you know, you look at the honey, at the honeycomb, and you see this lattice. And so that's what they're doing, using different substances, using our, the things in our body, weaponizing them against us. I mean, it's like I said, in this thing, it's chaos. And what they're trying to do is bring chaos and taint our blood supply. And it's our job to keep it as pure as possible, realizing that we do have to breathe, we do have to drink, and we do have to eat. But we should be mindful and careful about and what we take into our bodies. I mean, that could be whether it's an editing tool or eat now, it's in beauty products. You were talking about eyes. It's really in the contact lenses. They're really, instead of the Google glasses, and now there's some AI type of contact lenses, and then in the very eye drops there's hydrogel. And so people are, you know, I get emails like you do, and I just tell people check the label. But even when you check the label, you cannot always be sure they're going to tell you.
Who are these people? Who are these nefarious psychopaths? Do you have any insight into that at all?
You just have to look at one James Gorodano, Dr. James Gorodano, who's very well placed, government, military, ethics and morals. If there is, you know, they had ethics and morals. And I found out that the University of Montana actually had that for geoengineering. And, you know, there was no good reason to have it. And I did cover real time the second Asilomar conference, which was about geoengineering. They're really the last Asilomar in the trilogy was AI management of the planet, a framework. They didn't really go into these synthetic life forms. I think it's kind of like laws make the, you know, they'll have a one sentence law, but the regulations are like 500, 10,000 pages long. I think that's kind of it. They kind of said AI framework, and then the rest of it is filling in, and that's where we're seeing this synthetic life.
Do you think these people themselves who are structuring this and formatting it are already AI people?
Probably. I mean, when I put this lady that did the cell tissue and the muscle marbling up on my community yesterday, and then I did put it on shepherdsheart.life too, they were amazed. They said, these people are so excited about what they're doing. What's with them? I mean, they were just bubbly, and, you know, it's like a cat with a new toy, you know, they're batting at it, you know, and they've got them totally, and the young people. And they recruit these young people. I found out about this program in Homeland Security, where some of the scientific advancements and policy are actually being set by 16 and 18 year olds that they've culled from the population and put into government positions, anywhere from hackers to synthetic biology. And I mean, you can see, I covered it on shepherdsheart.life, but you can also see it at the Army Mad Scientist site. Some of these young people talking, and they've been programmed, and they don't have like that little Greta Thunberg with the climate thing. I mean, they have no idea. And I remember being idealistic. I fought the Vietnam War. My dad was in naval warfare, and I'm fighting the Vietnam War. And then, you know, later on, because my friends were dying, you know, so I thought it was a thing to do, but we were all manipulated, you know, and these young people don't realize how manipulated. They're pawns in a big money scheme.
In the big global picture, if you took a 35,000 view of the world right now, what do you see?
So what I broke back in, I don't know, was it March of 2020, that at the World Economic Forum, COVID in the center, and the spikes were all the different things, 200 layers when I discovered it, went up to 250 different layers, impacting every segment of society, everything from the way we consume to healthcare to, there isn't any entertainment, financial, everything. So that's what I see. And it was successful. Within what, a couple weeks, they managed to convince most of the people to wear masks, even though if it was what they said it was, mask wouldn't have stopped it. It was a compliance issue.
Compliance. Do you see the end game? What do you think this is going to look like by the 2050 that they projected, or 2040, or what is it going to look like even by 2030? What is it going to look like just in a few years from now?
I think we see what it's going to look like from the Bible, Deagle Report, Georgia Guidestones, massive population reduction, a real change in the way consumerism. It's not going to be, I mean, just look at your experience, consumer experience. I just bought a pretty hefty air conditioner. It's a portable unit. It's a bunch of crap. I talked to a professional when I couldn't get it put together, air conditioner specialist, HVAC or whatever they're called. And he said, oh, duct tape it together. And I said, I'm not duct taping a brand new unit if the thing doesn't fit together. And then he goes, I have a 12 by 12 bedroom. I chose the small bedroom, not the master bedroom, so I could overlook the water because it's very peaceful and I love watching the birds. He said it won't even cool off that room. And so now I have to figure out how to get that monster from upstairs downstairs and send it back to Amazon. And then you go to the grocery store, you can get this, but you can't get that. And that's only going to increase the supply chain. And that was what it was designed to do, is break the supply chain and everything, replace it with synthetic everything, and redistribute the wealth around. So, there's a lot of different, like there's 250 different layers to it.
250 layers. Oh my goodness. It's the endless onion. The other thing that I anticipate seeing this fall, not only a lot of people being sick and a lot of people dying when the coronaviruses start in circulation again, and some of these people start experiencing ADE, the antibody dependent enhancement, they start getting their flu shots because they've already started peppering the airwaves about this is going to be the worst flu season ever. So, they're gearing up to do flu shots, and they're looking at delivering a flu shot and a corona shot in the same syringe. So that's just going to be a deadly combination. I see that, I see like kind of over the summer right now, in a lot of states and a lot of countries, they've kind of lifted a little bit of the restrictions. They've taken their foot off of the brake, and people are just saying, screw this, I'm going to go outside, I'm just going to do my thing. And so they haven't been enforcing it. Well, now they're already starting to introduce like the Delta variant, the this variant, the that thing. And come fall, I think they're going to do a big slam down again and say, schools are closed, businesses are stopped, go home, stay inside, quarantine, enforce a quarantine, maybe shut down to the internet. And I think that there's going to be a large swath of people that aren't Christian-based, that aren't founded in the Lord, and when they get shut down, they don't turn to their Bibles, they turn to despair, that are just going to say, I can't live through this again. I just can't do it. They're either going to be deaths from suicide, they'll just say, I need to get that shot or that shot and that shot to be able to like keep doing what I was doing in my life. Okay, fine, I'll just go do it. Do you sort of have the same premonition about that? Do you think that that's kind of what the world's going to look like?
Yeah, unfortunately, people have placed And there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible tells us. They turned to pharmakia and the physicians before calling upon their creator and the living God who can protect them from anything, whatever it is, physical, spiritual, whatever. He has the power. He's the only one that has the power to protect you, to heal you. He's the lifter of your head. He's the healer, but people clamor for these promises.
Fixes.
Yeah. But, you know, going back in biblical history, there was a time, remember, when the children of Israel were going between the promised land and Egypt and the promised land. They wandered around, they made their mistakes, they got plagues as a result of these mistakes. And one time, the Lord said, get a brass serpent, lift it up, which is kind of a foreshadowing of Jesus being lifted up, and the people were healed. Well, they kept that serpent, brazen serpent, and then they brought it out at the time of King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was very troubled because the people did not want to look to God. There was also supposedly, according to Jewish legend, you just take it at what that's worth, that there was a book of remedies for every affliction. So King Hezekiah had access to both, if you believe the legend, but the brazen serpent is in the scripture. And he destroyed both of them so that the people would have to turn to the Lord, that their source was cut off. We are about ready to honestly have our source cut off because from the World Economic Forum, doctoring and nursing as we know it is going to be transformed and given to AI. So there will not be doctors and nurses. You will not be going to your doctor like you have in the past, and it's no Marcus Welby, nothing like that. This telemedicine is the interim, and then really they say within the end of next year that this will be complete. So then you will have to rely on just AI, whether that's your computer and the various sensors that are both within your body. I saw some self in the journals yesterday, some cell phone apps that can read different things about your body. So, and the AI is going to be the one that determines if you live or die, and if you get treatment. And it's all going to be your compliance. It's going to be, have you used up your carbon credits? Is it, you know, time for you to, what was that? Exit this earth? Was that the Matrix, or was that Soylent Green? I can't remember which movie I think it was Soylent Green. They kind of ushered you into the movie room, and then they, you know, it was time for you to go off, as is common in many science fiction, which, as we know, is all predictive programming.
Yeah, they'll add that social credit scores to that too, how well you've behaved. And then the food shortages will, you know, if you are generating and being performing like you're supposed to, you know, there was a, you know, how much Glenn Beck sponsored a book. This was quite a few years ago now. It was called Agenda 21. And I'm sure it was written by somebody else, but he put his label on it. And I read the book, and there was a section in the book about being energy neutral. And so that people were all living in these camps, and they had to get up every morning and get on a treadmill, and they generated X number of kilocalories per day. And at night, people that walked around with like these little cubes of numbers of protein and carbohydrates and things like that, that they dropped them in a box outside your door. And it was based, how many of those cubes you got was based on how much kilocalories of energy you produced. And if you didn't produce a lot of energy, you got less food, because it had to be like energy neutral. I mean, these things are, I mean, obviously it's science fiction, and it was like purported to be that way, but there was no children, anybody who had a baby, they were all taken away and taken care of by the state and programmed by the state. And this was probably, I'm going to say maybe 10 years ago that book came out. And it's just a lot of those things. And you watch a lot of movies. I know some nights we'd be sitting here watching a movie and I would say, what year was that? That was like 1992, you know, is whatever that movie was, you know, at that point in time. And they've told us through movies, through television, through movies, through books, all along what was coming. Because I think that's part of their spiritual thing they have to do. And here we are, we're at that point. And so we talked at the beginning of our interview, as we're closing out here today, you know, I'm not one to, I don't like to candy coat things. And I think everybody, a lot of these interviews that I do, and I'm sure they do the same thing with you. It's like, well, let's leave us on some little element of hope. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the only hope is repenting and kneeling in front of God and getting Jesus in your heart. But there are some human things that you can do to kind of get away from the darkness a little bit. And you talked about that a little bit, about finding some things to do. Share some of your thoughts about that with us.
Okay, so whatever your passion is, we all experience having to face this darkness. And so we can, part of maintaining our humanity is we've been gifted. Maybe you're a great hairdresser. Go up to somebody and say, I'd love to do your hair, just as a gift. If you're a great baker, make a meal for a shut-in, a widower, somebody that's ill. If you're an artist, I had one of my followers, actually I had two followers. One gave me this beautiful, the white rose. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the story of Sophie Scholl, but you should watch it if you haven't seen it. She was a young college student during World War II, and she was caught distributing anti-Hitler material, and she was beheaded. It's free on YouTube, but I would watch it. So she sent me the white rose. And another one, I never have time for simple pleasures like a patchwork quilt, like I'd love to do quilting. And she sent me this quilt. So, I mean, what a blessing it is to me. And if you're a musician, use that talent and bless some people. You know, you don't have to have a Christmas time where you go sing Christmas carols. You could go sing out in front of somebody's house or, you know, go to your park and just set up shop and just let the music flow. So there's different things that you can you know, keep your humanity and bless other people with. And that's what I love to do is do little special things. Like for me in my busy schedule, I can't do things like quilting and the artwork and all that type of stuff. But sometimes I'll just pick up the phone and call a follower and it just blows them away. What? You called me? And I say, yes, you know, because you're a valuable and treasured soul. And I care about you. And they're just blown away. And I'll spend an hour on the phone with them. And so even those of us on the front line can spend a few minutes, not necessarily giving the dark and grim news, but we can encourage people too.
That's awesome. And I think the take home message from that is do whatever it takes to hold on to your humanity. As they're trying to destroy humans, human beings are everything. I mean, you know, all of these attacks on kids now, making them gender neutral, attacks on their heart because they're making synthetic hearts. I mean, they're already doing that with artificial intelligence and 3D printers. They're pretty close to making synthetic hearts as a pump, because then when you insert that into people's hearts that have heart failure, you don't have to do rejection drugs. You don't have to do any of those things. It's just a plastic thing, which of course is your soul center and where all of your heart chakra energy sort of emanates from, your heart, soul, your love to other people, you know? So I think that's a great take-home message, Celeste, is do whatever it takes in your daily life, you know, pet your dog, hug your kids, you know, stand in the grass, you know, just to anchor, you know, with the energy of the earth, you know, just whatever it takes to hold on to your humanity is such a great take home message with that. So I want to thank you so much for this additional conversation that we've had for our premium guests. Tell people where they can find that 18-part webinar that you do and your webinars coming up and how we can best support you in the work that you're doing.
Okay, so shepherdsheart.life is where you can find both the video. It's $2.99 for 18 videos, over 40 hours of videos. And that's for not $2.99 each. That's $2.99 for the whole series. I also have a over 600 page document that has all my hyperlinks. That is $19.99. And then you could support me and join my community. I answer questions once a week. We get together on Tuesdays. We have, sometimes we have music, we have prayer. I answer questions. It's where I let my hair down and just, I am real. And, you know, it's one-on-one interaction and everybody gets a chance. And that's at celestialreport.com. So, and that's the best way. There's also at that celestialreport.com, if you want to send a one-time donation, there is at the top menu, there is a donate. And then I am going to be doing this deep, dark dive into the magnetism and the change of the atoms in our body. And I will let you know, I think about 6 weeks, I am finishing up settling in my new home. So that it's hard to do the research and the physical stuff when you're a widow, like, and I'm sure you can understand that. So I kind of have to get both accomplished. So I assume probably 6 weeks comfortably.
That'll be great. Well, please be sure to let Michelle know, get that back to us so we can help to promote that for you to get that out. And so, and speaking of webinars, you know, we're going to be doing our webinar on July the 10th, which is the 20 mechanisms of injury, how the COVID shots can make you sick and possibly kill you. It's a somewhat of a replay of the one that we did in May. We're doing it by popular demand because many people were not able to participate. And when you're doing it live and you're going through the studies, there's more things that you've learned. And there's also, we're calling it the 20 plus mechanisms because I found 6 or 7 more. And after this coming weekend, I think there'll be even more than that of what I've got planned in terms of my my research schedule. So that's July the 10th from 11 a to 1 p, 2 hours of kind of seminar and then an hour or more of Q&A. And you can register for that by just going to drtenpenny.com. You won't want to miss it. You'll get the ebook, you'll get the live training, you'll get the follow-up transcript of the live training, and you'll also get access to the actual videos. So please be able to register for that. That supports all the work that we're doing and being able to support a whole bunch of other things that are coming on down the line. So Celeste, thank you so much. I am so proud to call you my friend. And I'm so proud that we can talk every once in a while and get together and share this information. I want to support all the work that you're doing. So all of those links and everything will be down in the notes underneath the podcast. So with that, I always close all of my broadcasts with one of my favorite verses of the Bible. I do the same one every time because I think it's just, you can't hear it enough, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again on our next deep dive, stay strong, stay in prayer, trust in God, lean in. He'll never let you down. I love you so much. I appreciate you so much. And Celeste, I love your work. I love what you're doing. I'm so grateful for you being here. So until the next time, until we meet again, take care. Bye for now.